greetings in the name of Jesus. It would help me if we bowed our heads and prayed. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ, for his body, the church. Thank you for the rich blessing to be gathered together this morning, for all your wonderful work that we've heard testimony of. We thank you. Father, my thought seems so small this morning, yet it is beyond me. I trust it is of you, and your help is readily available. Oh, Father, help me, help us all. Grant me to speak your word in edifying manner. Grant that it bless, enrich, give growth, give life to all. Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Give you the honor and the glory. Amen. I've really been blessed by the service this morning. So many things have stood out to me. Appreciate Brother Chris talking about knowledge in the opening. How it can weigh us down, there's that terror. But how it frees us, there's the assurance. And that judgment, going right along with that knowledge, being twofold. Judgment and mercy. Judgment, sort of a prerequisite of mercy. And it brought my mind, this may be true with others, it was true with me, the first Christian song, the first gospel song, the first church song, however you want to say it, that I ever learned was Amazing Grace. And this terror, this assurance, this judgment, this mercy brought to mind that verse. 'Tis grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. I can recall the terror that was upon me, and I can recall the relief, the joy of that being lifted off. And of course, conviction is a word, it's a truth that Christians talk about. But when a sinner is under conviction, I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know. But oh, thank God. Amen. Thank God. And Alvin, Tina, Grace, Enos, Carol, so appreciate you testifying of God's work in your life. And so many quickening thoughts came to me. But one thing that I thought of that came to me, the theme of membership, the theme of members, the theme of God being ahead. And a man shared with me this with me years ago, and I got the picture. Of course, some question, and if time lasts, and we're given opportunities to try to counsel, to help others, be it in a brief meeting in a store, be it in our workplaces, be it in our homes. This question will not go away. Why should I be part of a church? Can't I go to heaven without going to church? That question, as long as time lasts, I'm not saying this in way of discouragement. It's just simple fact. That question will not go away. There's a very good chance We'll encounter it individually. We'll encounter it collectively. Picture a fireplace. Picture a fire and glowing coals in it. And this man related this story. A man sitting with a minister there by a fireplace, probably 100 years ago. And the man wanted to know, why do I need to go to church? Why do I need to be part of a body of believers? The minister didn't say a word. He reached into that fireplace, pulled a coal out of it that was glowing hot, and set it on the hearth. Didn't say a word. And after just a little while, that coal that was inside the fireplace with the other coals and the fire and was glowing orange, red orange, sitting on that hearth outside of the fireplace, not touching the other embers, the other coals that were still glowing red orange, had turned gray and black. Amen. The body of believers is wonderfully important. And of course, I'm like all the others. I don't have words to express my family's appreciation for all here and all that you have done and do for us. Just great appreciation for this service this morning and for our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. Feel like I have such a small, basic thought this morning. But with the Lord's help, we'll try it. Matthew chapter 13 this morning, in way of beginning, in way of an anchor with some scripture and thought. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 8 and then verse 23. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Verse 23, but he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. And then in 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, Peter writes, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. I'm going to try something this morning. I'm going to try to use the board a little bit. With the Lord's help, I'd like to talk about, minister, teach, maybe preach a little bit on these words, into and in. And I offer this in no way, shape, or form as exhaustive or complete. The word in obviously occurs a tremendous amount in the Bible. And of course, there's being in Christ and Christ being in us. And certainly that'll be part of my message. But these verses of Scripture, Matthew talks about seed falling into ground. Of course, that parable is found also in Mark and in Luke. The word used in those books is on. Peter talks about growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that word into, in is part of it. And into is the introduction, the entry or the insertion or the inclusion. So if you put something into the ground, after that it is in the ground. So these words are very closely related, very much tied together. And just from Webster's, in means inclusion, location, position within limits. So if somebody is in the house, the limits upon their position is the house. And I reference grace and reference knowledge because that's in the writings of Peter. Grace is the divine influence on the heart and the reflection of that in the life. So more than unmerited favor. It's the divine. It's God's. It's the Gospels. It's Jesus's. It's the Holy Ghost. It's the Word of God's influence upon our hearts. And then that reflecting in our lives. And knowledge here in 2 Peter 3 and 18, has to do with learning, growing in grace and growing in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So a continual seeking, a continual inquiry, and a continual investigation. So I have the picture here in Peter's writing in 2 Peter chapter 3, akin to Paul's statement, I count not myself to have apprehended. So Peter, an apostle, Peter, he identifies that he's well aged at this point in writing this book. He's saying, not that he was seeking for something else. But like Paul was stating, I count not myself to apprehended, but let's continue to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So in, the thought or the picture that comes to my mind, and it is no doubt in part because of some of my life experiences, people make the statement in life, I'm in. Somebody might be accepted into a college or university in this world, and the feeling or the sense that they have is, I'm in. In other words, the mindset of this world is that if somebody gets accepted to college or university, that's the door. Everything else will just take care of itself. So that's this sense. I'm in. That mindset also exists in the corporate world, or what is termed the corporate world. It also exists in government. So anywhere that man, a human, a person, can find a position that promises a return, this attitude, this mindset, this relief, this sense of I'm in exists. So if somebody gets a job with such and such corporation and it has a salary and it has benefits and it offers this and it offers that, the sense is I'm in. I'm in. In other words, I've got it made. So there's their position. There's their inclusion. There is their circumstance. So somebody gets accepted into college or university. Their circumstance, their position is they are in. They are now included. Somebody gets the job that just promises comfort and return for the rest of their life. Their position, they are included. Their place in the world, I'm in. Jesus talked about a different position. Jesus talked about a different place. Jesus talked about different circumstances. Jesus talked about into good ground. Peter spoke of in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's not to discredit. I don't mean to discredit. I don't mean to throw off. I don't mean to make light of the situations I presented as an example of what in can denote. Amen? But I'd like this morning to talk about a true in. Like when we find, when we come to, if mercy and grace permits us, and it does, we really are in. The world may look at it in a completely different light, and they do. But this is in. Amen? Bear with me. And I'm not exactly tall, so I hope everybody can see these. And my lines aren't straight. I am a little nervous. And we've already this morning had the picture of the coal in the fire. And I mean that to be a sponge, not a potato. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, verses 21 and 22. When a strong man, armed, keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils. And then 1 Timothy 1. First Timothy chapter 1. Verses 15 and 16.
Paul writing. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might shew forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. Amen. So, if you have a bucket of water, or a sink, or a tub of water, and you throw a sponge into that water, that sponge will float on the water, but you would say it's in the water. Amen? And I'm offering this morning as an illustration of Christian growth, Christian experience, and I'm offering the Apostle Paul as an example of that. And Paul offers himself also as the pattern or example for that. Jesus gives us the picture in Luke of a strong man keeping his house. And the picture I have of that is, no, I don't need to repent. No, I'm fine where I am right now. No, there's nothing wrong with my life. There's nothing wrong with my family. There's nothing wrong with my experience. I appreciate your concern. I appreciate your prayers. You don't even have to stop praying for me. But I appreciate what you stand for and what you're talking about. I'm just not there. A strong man armed. There's all sorts of armaments, arguments, excuses, reasonings. When a strong man armed keepeth his house, his goods are at peace. And isn't that a picture of the Apostle Paul? Or I should say, isn't that the picture of Saul of Tarsus? I've got it under control. My religion works. I've got the backing of the leaders of the most on-edge religion, the cutting edge of theology that there is. What is this Christianity? Who is this Jesus? What is this need of repentance? What is this need of something inside of me other than what is inside of me? What is this need of me being in something other than what I am in? But you see, Jesus didn't stop with the strong man armed. I'm glad He didn't. And I know you are too. But when a stronger than he comes along, the road to Damascus, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. In other words, just to bring it down to maybe a more understandable level, there is a Holy Ghost. There is a Spirit of God. There is a conscience in man. And you can walk away. We can walk away. I can walk away from the pleas and the sermons and the exhortations and the counsels. But oh, praise God, we may walk away from the CDs, we may walk away from the service, we may walk away from the tracks, people may do that, but there is a God in heaven whose eyes run to and fro through the earth, that follows right along. That's what he did with the apostle, or that's what he did with Saul, who later became known as the Apostle Paul. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. You can give testimony against it, Saul. You can put it in jail and silence it, Saul. You can see them put to death. You can see it come to an end, Saul. But it's of God and it will follow you. And praise God, it does. Amen. It's both that judgment and that mercy. It's that knowledge of the terror of the Lord, and it's that knowledge of assurance. There's a song I know from my young Christian days, and I believe maybe most of you would be familiar with it. Out on the hills, still he is searching, bringing them in forever to keep, if I have the words right. Aren't you glad God isn't done? God is not done. It's a faithful saying. It's worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And oh, it's the Bible pattern. It's not necessarily beautiful. It's just the Bible pattern. How he dealt with Paul translates in one way or another, one degree or another, one level or another, how he deals with all of mankind. There's that wrestling. Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm in. Can carry a dangerous sense with it. Once saved, always saved. Second Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Paul writes, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." When you throw that sponge into that tub of water, it is in the water. But when you take and you squeeze that sponge and you plunge it to the bottom of that tub and you let go, and then you squeeze it again and you let go, the air that was in that sponge escapes, and you know, it'll gurgle, and that's a good picture of us growing in Christ and Christ working on our lives to bring us to places, circumstances where He wants us and we can glorify Him. Amen? Paul, as a picture of Paul's life and Paul's experience, Paul besought the Lord. And Paul didn't just pray, "Oh God, why is this happening to me?" I believe Paul prayed with all the sincerity. all the authority of his office as an apostle. He appealed to Jesus Christ as one that really knew him and knew how to get a prayer answered. So the first prayer, he never got an answer. So he didn't quit. He went back and he prayed again. Why do I have to go through this? No answer to the second prayer. Paul is not about to be refused an audience. Not because of pride in my mind, but because of an understanding that he needs that audience with the Lord. Amen? We need to be in that audience chamber with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, "My grace is sufficient for thee. Let me squeeze out of you the things that you trust in. Let me squeeze out of you all that air. Let me squeeze out of you the comforts and the handholds." But oh, thank God, he doesn't just squeeze. "Paul, I'm going to release. I'm going to let go. And what's going to come back in? Your strength is gone. All that weakness, all that strength is gone. And you're weak. But when I let go, grace, you won't measure up by the world standards. My grace will not give you a standing in this world. My grace will not give you a pat on the back from those that rule this world and have a mind that they're the movers and the shakers of it. It's not going to do that, Paul. But oh, what it will do. You will be weak in the eyes and the mind of others, but my strength will be perfected." Amen. So when you feel squeezed, I explain that it's a small thought in, but it's bigger than me. And I would love to express it and bring it across in an edifying and an encouraging way. When life does not go our way, when dreams are not realized, when we end up someplace far away than where we want to be, chances are that there's a really good chance that God has a beautiful plan in that. That God is squeezing, that God is wringing, and many people will attest That's exactly what I felt like. People can say, they'll attest. I felt he had me by the shoulders and he was just squeezing. The pressure, the uncertainty, the anxiety. But he's doing it for a reason. That there's a design in it. He's putting you down more and more into that water. Amen. It's beautiful. A dry sponge. I mean, take a dry sponge to something and try to clean it. I mean, drop a hot dog on the floor with mustard all over it and take a dry sponge to it. It'll be messier. But if you put that sponge in a tub and squeeze all the air out and get some soapy water in it, and then you take it to that mustard, it will clean up the mess. I would rather that God had a different way of working in my life. But nonetheless, it's God's way. And it is beautiful. Amen.
Psalm 1. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So this is a plant in soil. Acts 4. And this verse may not be the best illustration, but it's what came to me. Acts 4, verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. You don't have to have a college education. You don't have to have a university degree to be in Christ. Amen. That they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. Beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. They called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Amen. So, we understand this morning that Peter and John were in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was in Peter and John. And this passage of Scripture, in my mind, speaks wonderfully to church membership. Membership in a body of believers. A body of believers that exhibits the transforming power of the gospel. Amen. They couldn't deny that a change had taken place in this man. And of course we have the biblical recounting of a physical healing, but it's no less a testimony to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when there is a body of believers and their life and their love for one another and the change that takes place through their ministering one to another, through the head ministering to them and through them all, that is equally a testimony to this world. And this stands out to me. Not in way of discouragement, just in way of observation, in way of warning, in way that you and I can learn and be prepared.
These men, the council, that they did not buy into the explanation of John and Peter that this was the work of Jesus Christ. They didn't. It can be discouraging when people that we have contact with come up with other explanations for what Jesus does in our life. There are times, right? If an individual is a living, breathing, thinking, feeling human being that appreciates contact and relationship with other living, breathing, thinking, feeling human beings. And Jesus Christ has done a work in the heart that gives life to faith and charity and hope and righteousness and transformation in somebody's life, and friends or family or acquaintances at work, people that are cared about, people that are respected, and they turn around, they come back, and they have other explanations for what is going on in that new Christian's life, for what is going on in that seeker's life, for what is going on in that person that wants to rise into the righteousness of God more and more and above this world and above sin. They have explanations that are not always flattering, that are not always friendly, that are not always kind. Sometimes they border on rebuke. Again, that is not to discourage any of us from wanting to be more and more in Jesus Christ. It's just an observation that's not going to stop. As long as this world stands, that is not going to stop. They did it to the apostles. Peter and John themselves experienced that. Luke 13:6. It is not my heart to take any of these passages or verses of Scripture out of context. It is not my heart to paint anything different than what the Bible presents. The concept of in was on my heart, has been for some time now. And my study has taken me in a completely different direction than I thought it would. It can be discouraging. It can be distressing. It can kind of freeze your root system when there's persecution, when there's opposition, when others throw their interpretations, their doubts into our faces. I think that's a fair way to say it. That's the picture I'm on right now. It can just about freeze your root system. It can cause your root system to go dormant. But I'm talking about in this morning. Amen. Luke 13 and 6. I believe that's right, yeah. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. And of course, there is the truthful thought. This is a reference to Israel and the old law and the coming in of grace and the new covenant. And like I said, I don't mean in any way, shape, or form to misrepresent the Scripture in presenting this idea of in. But we started out with a tree planted by the rivers of water. And that's truth. When individuals put their roots down into God's Word, when members put their roots down into godly fellowship and upholding the godly ways of a body, amen, there can't but be growth. There can't but be a rise in the direction of Jesus Christ. There can't but be a glorifying of God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? But there are things that can happen and they just about freeze us. They just about knock us over. They just about turn us upside down. And so I want to point out something in this verse of Scripture in Luke in way of encouragement. Amen? We have a tree in our front yard. When we moved into the house last year, it was a pitiful looking tree. I didn't know if it would last. I confess, I'm using this to illustrate the point, not because I know that this actually worked. I confess that to you. Amen. I dug a ring around it and put some mulch down and put some flowers in it, more to make it more appealing to the eye than the tufty grass and everything like that. And I did that last year before the fall and before the winter. Got that mulch on it, dug up the sod around it. This spring, it is vibrant and green. I have trimmed it a number of times to keep limbs off of the driveway and off of the sidewalk in the front of the house. It's a crab tree, and it's grown and grown and grown. And I confess, I have no idea that me digging up the sod and taking it away and putting mulch down and kind of digging around the roots, I have a suspicion that maybe that has something to do with how vibrant it is this year. I can't tell you that absolutely that's what it was. Nonetheless, we have a Bible picture of that very thing. Amen. A man going out around the fig tree and digging. There are roots that aren't surviving as he is digging, as he's putting that shovel into the ground and kind of pulling back and wiggling it around. There are roots that are being cut off from other roots. There are roots that are dying underneath that tree. Amen. Now, as he's throwing dung into there and spreading it around and digging, he's providing nutrition for that tree that tree has not been getting. And I drew this picture this way, like you're planting a plant. Oh, when God puts His shovel to work, you know, sometimes a root can get into something that isn't really feeding us what we need to be fed. But aren't you thankful this morning? There is a God in heaven that's got a shovel. It may be a CD, it may be a tract, it may be a preacher, it may be a brother or sister. It may be a situation that that you just can't take anymore. But God will put His shovel there if you love God. And He'll cut that root. You know what happens when you cut that root? It's just nature. That root will look for other places of nourishment. And aren't you glad there's a God in heaven? He'll throw nourishment your way. He will. He's faithful. He's loving. He's kind. He's generous. It really, truly, absolutely, positively means something to be in the Word of God, to be in a body of believers. Amen. I was fearful that I wouldn't have enough. I see I've taken more time, actually. So let me finish. That there are multitudes of pictures of being in. We're grafted contrary to nature into a good root. Amen? There's the log in the fire, and the fire in the log. There's electricity and a wire. I jotted this down. I'll try to close. We're graft contrary to nature as Gentiles into a good root. In grafting, certain scions, that's the piece that's grafted into the root, scions need a certain rootstock. You can't just cut something off of one thing and graft it into anything. There has to be some sort of connection, a scientific, biological. Not just everything will graft into anything. But Paul says we're graft contrary to nature into a good root. So you see, it's not scientific, it's God. And I'm mindful of that Canaanite woman, I believe, a Greek, a Syrophoenician. Faith and obedience are key to this connection. It's been mentioned today. No hope. Who would have ever thought that I'd be in Christ? Who would have ever thought? People look at me. You know, different ones have that testimony. Why would God ever smile at me? Amen. She came to Jesus. And again, I don't mean to misrepresent the Scriptures, but I believe you can glean this from the Scriptures. The disciples, the apostles, those that were very closest to Jesus, that knew and understood better than anybody else, their mind was, there's no way. She doesn't fit. She'll never, ever connect with grace. She'll never get it. It'll never take. You know, however you want to say it. They tried to send her away. They tried to get Jesus to send her away, and she stayed right there in. And finally, Jesus just laid it down. It is not meet. It's not proper. It's not right. We don't do things this way. To give the meat to dogs. And I'm not quoting that exactly right. But she said, I understand that, Lord. Yay, Lord. Absolutely, positively true. But the dogs do eat of the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Jesus says, great is thy faith. Amen. In. Faith and obedience are key. Determination are key. When this world gets into something, feels like they've found something that is the answer to their desires, their dreams, I'm in. Jesus Christ is the answer. He is the desire. And He invites all to be in. God bless you all. I hope I've been a blessing. Hope I've helped. God bless you all.